Salve, salve galera, começando mais uma entrevista especialíssima aqui no estúdio do motorsport.com Interlagos, cobertura das 6 horas de São Paulo, etapa do WEC voltando ao país depois de 10 anos. Eu, Carlos Costa, estou aqui na companhia de Felipe Mota, apresentador dos canais ESPN, e abrindo para geral, vocês já veem Guilherme Longo, mas a grande estrela, Robert Kubica, piloto da Ferrari AF Corse. Robert, nice to have you here, a big pleasure for us, and what about Brazil in this visit so far?
It's much colder than it used to be. I used to come here always in November, end of season with Formula One. And first time here, 2002 was still end of year. So yeah, still nice to see, you know, as always, good emotions, a lot of interest of motorsport. Of course, Formula One is something special, but still WEC, I think, attracts people and fans as always here in São Paulo.
Perfeito. Então, galera, a gente vai falar do WEC, carreira na Fórmula 1, outras visitas, ao Brasil, mas já vou passar a bola para o Felipe Mota. Felipe Mota, it's your turn.
Yeah, for me, it's very emotional to be with Robert. I used to follow Formula 1 from 2004 to 2013, so I saw you coming, your race in Hungary, and then your crash in 2007 in Canada, then your win. And because he speaks very fluently Italian, he was very close with the Brazilians as well, playing poker. So Rubens and Felipe love him. So he was not a Brazilian, but a kind of, you know, member of the group. That's my question. What's your relationship with Brazil? You race here in Formula 3, you race in Formula 1, you know Interlagos, but you have Rubens, Felipe. When we say Brazil, what comes in your mind?
Good drivers. I used to always have, you know, also in karting, you know, I used to race with a lot of good Brazilian drivers. I mean, I know a few names. I don't remember them all, but you had a great history and you have always good, talented drivers racing in Europe. So, yeah, if you tell me Brazil, I would say always they were tough opponents and drivers. Of course, now, if I have to say one thing, it would be my podium in 2009 with BMW. It was completely unexpected. The car was not good all year, but we managed to finish on podium here.
And you mentioned Brazilian drivers from your early days. Could you name some of them?
Well, there were so many, but, you know, a good friend of mine was Roberto Straight, and him we mentioned before, Jimenez, Kodair, and there were many, many. I mean, Carbone, we used to race in Formula 3, and we used to also live in Italy, in close area. So, you know, I for sure remember more, and I will not mention all of them because, you know, I know some names, not exactly probably, so I don't want to pronounce, but it has been always, you know, like in Europe, we always kind of not fear, but we know if Brazilian is coming to Europe, he has to be good. And this was it was always like this in the past.
And from the current WEC grid here, you are one of the most recognized drivers. To the audience, how has it been this this round of WEC so far for you?
The season as a whole, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the season started as a new challenge with AF Corse driving the third Ferrari. So practically, AF Corse is running official cars last year, but in the end, we are quite young group, new group. So it's a big challenge. All three of us driving the car, so me, Ife, and Robert Schwarzman, were new into this project, new to the car, so we lack a bit of experience. We showed good pace. I think many races were a bit unlucky. Of course, the last one in Le Mans, where we were leading for a long time and our car stopped 4 hours to go. I think we had all ingredients to fight for a win. For sure for podium, but you know, this is part of racing. So from technical aspects, you know, it has been a very variable championship. We are going in different tracks, different characteristics, and a lot of learning from human being part of, let's say, being here is always some special, you know. I mean, I met few people in the paddock, Brazilian fans, and they remember me from 2002 when I was racing here, you know, and
first visit to Brazil.
Yeah, and I was a 16 years old kid, you know, and so it shows that they are really a passionate fans, you know, and And this is always nice, you know, because when you race in Formula 1, everyone knows you. But if someone remembers you from 20 years ago, when you are a little kid, and or not so little, but still a young guy, it shows that there is big culture of racing, and it's so nice to see.
Yeah, but I think this is great because you mentioned when a Brazilian driver arrives in Europe, you say it must be good. But in the same way, Brazilians like to support, you will understand what I mean, but the underdogs. And you were never an underdog, you have a lot of talent. But as you come from Poland, Brazil get the connection, as you know. He's not German, he's not English, he's not France, he's Polish. Do you feel this? Oh, come on.
I remember that everyone was very friendly. Like, you know, in Europe, even on very low, young ages, there is a lot of competition. You know, I think it comes also from parents, you know. In the end, when you start racing karting, when you are 10 years old kid, it has to be for fun. It has to be just a beginning, you know, a hobby. Then it comes passion, it can become work, but there is a lot of competition. I remember I came here, maybe because I was not, doing all championship. So I was like, okay, he's coming, let's kick his ass. Because for sure, people, wanted to stay in front of me. I managed to win the race. I actually was surprised that I dominated. I didn't know the track. This track is quite particular, you know. It's not so easy to learn, so... But yeah, I felt like after 1 week, I felt like, wow, I'm part of, let's call it Brazilian family of racing, you know. Yeah, you know, also because in the garage, no one was speaking English. I speak Italian. I tried to learn, Brazilian Portuguese. And actually, after when I was leaving, I could understand nearly everything. So it was a nice experience.
So I imagine that your Formula One visits to Brazil were quite comfortable compared to other countries of the calendar.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you are racing like in F1 and also now we don't really have time, the schedule is very tight. In the end, everyone is saying, you visit so many countries in the world. Yeah, I visit airports, hotels and racetracks. That's it. And some restaurants, Churrascarias and stuff like this. So, yeah, I mean, in the end, you never really have a time to visit and everything. But as I said, it's always nice to come here. And I never had, apart of few occasions, good results. Interlagos never have been like outstanding for results. I always say that if you ask a race driver which tracks he likes, is the ones he's performing well.
Yes.
This is 90% rule. So, but as I said, we always come here end of season. So in Formula 1, season is long. So you tend to long trip. But in the end, you come to nice environment, nice positive vibes of racing, good food, good weather.
Apart from this weekend,
well, we are in the end this is your winter, so I would like to have such a winter at home, but so in the end it was kind of closing chapter in old days in Formula 1.
And your last visit we were talking
2019.
About 2009 with Williams, quite a long time ago already.
Well, yeah, the time flies. In the end, it was difficult weekend, not only that one. It
the
was
car didn't help.
Well, no. it was a long year, so but that's part of the game, let's say.
I have a curiosity because my stepfather is Polish, Jewish Polish, and I remember a journalist in Formula 1. He looks like you. I don't remember his name.
Ah, Mikko.
I always talk to him about.
I thought many people thinks that we are brothers.
Brothers,
But it's because of the nose.
And I am always interested about cultures and countries and mentalities. Of course, we are Brazilians. We are not the same. Not every Polish is. But sometimes we have a culture that is from a people. Yeah. And we have Poland in a very tough place in Europe between Soviet Union and Germany, all the wars. And this journalist always said to me, how hard is for a sportsman or a sportswoman to be Polish and to carry all this revenge sometimes, like Iga Świątek or Lewandowski in football. It's tough to be a Polish in sports.
I would say not tough. I mean, I think in last 20 years things has changed dramatically in better in Poland. Mentality changed. Country has grown up a lot. First of all, there is more opportunities. I think honestly, if you come now to Poland to live and it's a nice country, you know, there is the standard of living is much higher than it was in the past. Definitely 20 years ago, 30 years ago when I started, racing go-karts was very exotic. Was something like I was the only one. Rarely there were some couple of more drivers doing some European races. Now when you go to European races in karting, there is a group of 20-30 Polish karting drivers. So it shows the country has grown up, open-minded. Mm-hmm. So I would, in the past maybe there was a bit difficulties, but I also think that difficulties makes you better, makes your character, and everyone, the life is nice when it's everything smooth, but let's be honest, for everyone you have to fight. You have to fight for better. Of course, you would like to win every time. You would like to have easy life, but maybe someone has easy life. Maybe someone is winning. We have 8 times world champions. We have Max Verstappen, so they are winning all the time. But the winner is one. The most of the people, they have to chase. They have to fight. And to be honest, I can speak only for myself. When I was a kid, when I traveled to Italy for first races, when people were asking me where I'm from, people didn't know where is Poland. Mm.
Even in Europe?
Yeah. Well, Italians, for me, they didn't know. I mean, 90%. When I was saying Polonia, they thought Bologna. Bologna is a town.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but now they know, for sure. And it's thanks to not only sportsmen, but for sure sportsmen, we have... more and more international level sportsmen, which for sure is a great advertisement for country, but also as a country we grow up a lot. I mean, I really recommend if one day you have a chance to go Europe, to go Poland, and not because I'm Polish, but I really think is a good country to have a go and to spend a bit of time.
I've heard good things from Poland, so definitely schedule. But
good advertisement.
Robert, you talk about fighting as a sportsman. You talk about having a strong character that is so much needed in motorsport. As you said, you have one winner, and for example in Formula One, 19 losers, if we can say so, which is not the case, but. Only one.
Well, it is the case.
Yeah, but I would like to ask.
Second is the first loser.
Yeah. Alonso said it at the beginning of the year.
But I'd like to ask you about this phase of your career. You have a career of ups and lows, Formula One, good performances, then your rallying accident, and now after a brief spell in Formula One in WEC, what could you say about this moment in terms of? Accomplishment, yeah. And I would say personally more than sporting wise.
Yeah, this is a good question actually, because I think I say for myself, after racing in Formula 1, for me it was difficult to, it's not that you don't find motivation, because I'm very passionate about motorsport. I want to do well and I have huge passion, and for sure if I would not have this passion I would stop a long time ago with how what I passed through the life with my accident.
You like the sport, not the being famous. Or
yeah, I mean, this is my lifestyle. And yes. This, thanks to motorsport, my life has been very, I think, it teach me a lot, and it has been tough. But still, I cannot see myself, I think I'm very fortunate and very lucky that my passion became my work, and that I can say I'm going to work, but it's not really work, it's my passion. Okay. And I think this is very, I mean, someone who has this luck is a big bonus in your life. But WEC offers me, maybe not WEC, but Le Mans. I heard many stories about Le Mans when I was racing Formula 1, and people saying, well, Le Mans, I would say, yeah, but... I mean, in the end, I'm racing the highest category in the world, and maybe one day, but I was not so interested. Then I switched to endurance racing, and when I went first time in Le Mans, I felt like I have the emotions like when I was a kid in karting. I go to the race, which I don't know. I don't know anything. It's a tough one. It's a big challenge. I felt like, wow, this is something brings me, you know, to old days in karting when you start, or when I came here in Interlagos first time. You know, you always have things which unknowns. Where you race for very long in the same categories, everything becomes very natural. And this is a key. In every sport, I think, you have to drive as natural or play as natural as possible. So, but you lose a bit of emotions, which Le Mans definitely gave me, and I have big respect to Le Mans. Le Mans is the race. And if someone asks me, you do 4 races a year, but it's kind of Le Mans, I do only 4 Le Mans. I will exchange everything, because it's really brings you, not only driver, but the team, preparation to another level. And because you have one chance, you know how difficult it is. And and because it lasts 24 hours, it's such a big challenge.
Robert, talking about endurance racing in general, you are not just doing World Endurance Championship this year, you are doing European Le Mans Series, which are actually the official broadcasters of ELMS here in Brazil. Okay. So congratulations on your victory last Sunday. How is it for you to do this dual program? You are there racing LMP2, you are on Imola Sunday, and on Friday you are here driving a hypercar. How is it for a driver to manage, even though it's the same type of racing, different cars?
Yeah, it's quite different. I mean, the car looks similar, but the way you drive is quite different. So honestly, I think experience helps. You know, when you are in motorsport for a long time, different categories, you get a knowledge, you get a background. It's still about feeling. So if you jump into the car, you have good feeling. Your life is becoming much easier. Of course, I know very well MP2 cars, so this helps. And I don't see a big problem. But first year I was doing this was in DTM in 2020, when I was reserve driver for F1. And then actually when I arrived in ELMS in 2021, which we won in ELMS, I had like question of marks. But in the end, it really sometimes surprised me how quickly you can adapt. And this is a good thing. So it's not a really big problem, and honestly I still think racing more than only like 7-8 races, it keeps you in the mood, it keeps you, in the end it's a sport, you know. Motorsport often has this vision that is not a sport, because everyone drives the car, everyone can go Sunday to supermarket or to the visit to the friends, why I cannot drive it. But you know, I think motorsport community tries to transfer message that it's a sport. But on the other hand, how can be the sport if you don't train? Like F1 now, they do 4 days of, or not even 3 days of testing before the season, and it's difficult for someone who doesn't know the F1 to believe it's a sport, because every sport you practice every day.
Of course.
So in the end, this helps me to keep, although it's different category, keeps me in the loop, keeps me, you know, trained, keeps me up to the shape.
Yes.
And Robert, talking about European Le Mans Series, we know an engineer that knows you very well, and you know him very well. We'll just play a quick message from him. Galera, vocês que acompanham a gente, vocês sabem, Rico Penteado, estrela do canal. A gente vai trazer aqui trechinho do que o Rico mandou pro Robert Kubica em mais uma entrevista especial, oferecimento I Love Brio, energia humana gera energia. Vamos conferir.
Salve, salve, galera do motorsport. Ciao, grande capo. First of all, congratulations for your victory in Imola. I was really hoping for a victory in 24 hours of Le Mans, but it was not this year, but it's going to come, I'm sure. So congratulations for Imola. And actually, I have 2 questions for you. The first one is, when do you think we're going to have find time to catch up? Because I was in Castellet, it was not the case. Le Mans, it was for sure very busy. But I want to see you on a track soon so we can catch up and remind the old days. And the second question I have is, do you think the temperatures in Interlagos that are going to be quite low, if it's an issue on the tires, or is it something that you're going to master and take care as being the same for everyone? Do you think it's not going to be an issue? Hope to see you soon. Good luck. Ciao, ciao.
Nice surprise. He knows, I think, a few good stories about our time. Actually, my 2010 year where we worked together in Renault has been, from work point of view and fun, the best year of my life. 2010.
That's quite a statement, Rob.
I joined Renault where they had the year before with Alonso and Grosjean. They were struggling. The team actually was sold by Renault to Jenny Capital. Yeah. So it was not easy time, but we had some strong races, and I like it because like proper race team. I was coming from BMW, which was of course great team, but the approach was quite different. And with Rico, we spent a good time, some good stories. About temperature, we touched the topic. It's a bit different. I mean, we have two compounds brought by Michelin here. I think the weather will change between today and tomorrow. So this is a bit unknown how the car will react, actually how the tires will be. I think Interlagos is very demanding from the tires perspective. So for sure, tire topic will be an important one, and it can be the decisive one.
Last question. I interviewed Rico once. I know he's crazy about Fernando Alonso, and I said, he's your favorite driver. No, he's the second. My first one is Roberts. So that's my question for you. Who is your, in the grid, the grid F1 this year, who is your favorite? Not just the favorite, like the three, four that we really enjoy to watch, this guy and the newcomers, like Lando or Russell. Who do you think is really, really great?
Well, I mean, I have to say Max, and everyone will think it's always same story. But the fact is, I remember when I was off the sport, broke in my sofa in home, and Max was starting. Actually, I remember well his first race in Red Bull in Barcelona when he won. The way he raced, the way on, I think he was 17 or 18 at that time. I mean, when I think back when I was 17, you know, like hats off, full respect. I mean, to cope with the pressure, to do these things at so young age is really something special. And of course, you have many talented drivers in Formula One. I mean, F1 without talent, I mean, even if someone thinks, this one is not good, he's still good. It's just that the level is so high that, you know, a couple of tens in Formula One makes you looking a star and no one.
Q3 or Q1.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and of course it depends. When you are lucky with the car, competitive car, I always say when you are rookie, it's all about, not all, but 80% is all about luck, how your car will be competitive. And to get to Formula 1 is so difficult, but to remain in Formula 1 is even more difficult. But coming back to your question, I will mention three drivers. It's Max, Fernando, and Luis. For different reasons. For me, Fernando has been always kind of a person who can win races without winning the car. You know, I think 90% of the grid can win the race with a winning car, especially if the gap is big. But
I agree.
When Fernando was in Ferrari and he was keeping fighting championship up to last race, it was like...
Massive.
Yeah. And, you know, there were drivers which won titles, which I think they were not capable of doing this. But they still win it because the car was just better than the others. So, as always, you need a bit of luck. But they say also that the luck follows the best ones. So, so this is part of the game.
Pessoal, vamos bater palma para Robert Kubica!
Thank you.
Fantastic, chat.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You mentioned hats off for respect to Max, hats off for respect for your career, and
everything
thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
É isso aí, galera. Entrevista com o Robert Kubica. Conteúdo especial aqui no estúdio motorsport.com. Oferecimento Prio aqui nas 6 horas de São Paulo. A volta do EC ao Brasil depois de 10 anos. Robert, once more, thank you.
Obrigado.
É isso aí, galera. Valeu.